Blog Talk Radio.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor give us turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned in order. Unto thee, if I would declare, speak, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is what written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Glorious, and you know it's a victorious day, day that the Lord hath made. We must rejoice and be glad in it, for we know that it is him that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And if in him we live, if in him we move, it is in him we have the essence of our being. We know that this is the acceptable day and time of his presence. Glorious and victorious day it is. Truly I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come into his courts with praise, and to his presence with thanksgiving. Know the Lord, he is God. He has made us. And thank you, Lord, we didn't make ourselves. You tuned into Midday Manna from on high. God prepares for us the very best, so that we may partake greatness, his goodness, and his mercy, and spread the message all throughout the land that the acceptable time and season of the Lord is at hand. You've got your host with the most, the Esquire, Abby A. Thoth, known as your Motor City Maharani, saying it's been a long time, been in the vineyard working. And you know our Messiah told us to go into the vineyard and work for whatever is right. He will compensate or he will pay us. And let me tell you something. When you do right, you will get a noteworthy harvest. Don't give up. I know many of you in listening radio land on all seven continents, I say seven because we count Antarctica. We know that there may be tenacious ears out there that are hungry for the truth, who are tired of indulging and engaging in vain religiosity. God is not a God of religion. God is a spirit matter. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not a doctrine. He's not a building. He is a spirit presence, the divine creator of the universe. He created all things, all beings, both great and small. He is God. He is the only one that can speak and create something. That's right. He is the only one that can speak and create something. And Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our engagement advocate for us to go back to the Father that birthed us in the spirit and then in the natural formulation. Now, this is why he is called our mediator, our high priest, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we are healed. So we no longer have to bear the anomalies of what this world has done to us, we no longer have to stand alone without any representation. Jesus Christ is our atonement. He is our representative, linking us back to God the Father. You see, sin and unrighteousness separated us. We had left home, and we were wayfaring strangers trying to sojourn in a weary land, okay? So when Christ came, he came to rectify us. He came to atone for us. Atonement means bring us back to the original state of existence, preeminent of what we became when our feet touched the planet Earth. Because you see, as beautiful as babies are, as innocent as they appear, they are yet born in and shapen unto iniquity. But when we take off the old and receive the new, for he that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We become innocent. We become rebirthed. We take off the natural and put on the supernatural. We take off the tangible and tangible. We take off the and put on the. So this way we can approach the throne of God, even God the Father sees us now. At first he couldn't look upon us because of our iniquities. But though our sins were as scarlet, the blood of Jesus Christ makes us whiter than snow. Now God the Father can look at us. Why? He sees us through the eyes of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, yes. And you think about it. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus breaks those family and generation curses. Oh, the blood of Jesus heals those rotten bones. Oh, the blood of Jesus makes the body whole, makes the mind sound, breaks down those barriers, breaks down those high places, breaks down those negative forces. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I'm speaking out there in radio land. I'm saying the blood of Jesus. You need to speak it. There's things going on in your life that is. Everywhere you turn, there's trouble. Everywhere you turn, there's complexity. Everywhere you turn, there's controversy. Everywhere you go, it seems to be nothing but turmoil. This is a curse. There have been people in your midst that have been sitting in your face who have not been willing you well, have not been wishing you well. It is people that envy the gift of God that's laying dormant in you. You hear me? You know who you are. You better rise up and you better stand before his presence and admit it. You have been dwelling under a curse, a dark cloud. That's why you see disobedience. I'm talking to somebody out here in the radio land. You've been trying to find the counsel of others. You've been trying to get the answers yourself. You're getting tired the more. You get more frustrated. You get more aggravated, more agitated, more involatile. You're becoming a different person. That is not God's will. You have gotten out of the ark of safety. You stopped looking at the spirit things and began to pursue the natural things. You got out of faith and you got into fear. You got out of trusting God and to relying on other people. God said you stirred the curse. You stirred it. The curse would have never taken dominion over you had you obeyed me, had you walked in my will and my way. But the Lord is speaking unto you on this day, saying, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to receive the fullness of the blessings of Abraham in your life. I'm going to break the curse. Somebody out there in listening land, you can believe it whether you want to or not. Whether or not you believe it does not change the fact. Everything that you've been attempting to do, I know I've been there. I've experienced that. Everything seems to just fold under. You can't get the breakthrough. Other people are doing things, and they're being productive and progressive, but you are stagnant. and you're getting angry, you're getting frustrated. The enemy is trying to present to you other ways of generating money at the expense of hurting others. Don't do it. Don't do it. That curse of financial lack, that curse when you stagnate, you cannot produce, it's broken. It's broken in the name of his blood. His blood has atoned and washed curse clean. Now it's your responsibility, thank God, deliverance. It's your to admit before God that, Lord, I fueled this curse through my disobedience, through my carnal mindedness. See, the carnal mind, I'm going to tell you something, the curse it fuels. This is the word of knowledge. I'm not going to go into the teaching yet. I've got the word of knowledge. You see, the very knowledge of the carnal mind is enmity to God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is where the curse lies. This is where the curse is fueled, because of your disobedience, your unwillingness to submit to the higher powers of God. God is going to break that curse here and now, as we're speaking, because of the blood of Jesus. Not because you're so good and you could be so good, but because of the blood of Jesus. There is no evil force that can penetrate the vortex of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ our Lord drives away all evil forces. It is in the blood of Jesus Christ all conditions are halted and reversed. It is because of the blood of Jesus Christ the most hard-hearted man breaks down and gives into you divine favor that gives you that money that you need. Go, come on here. Let somebody say amen. It is because of the blood of Jesus that very person that sat on your promotion walked away and said, you know something? There's a power that I really like. It's because of Jesus, because of the power in the blood. You remember how a man had the very essence of his strength? That's right. Through the power of the cape. He said, isn't it of just many of you thinking because of his character? No, it was his courage to protect others. Look at our Messiah. It's because of these elements that you have faced these hindering circumstances. You see something that's appearing in the midst? The confirmation is when the broadcast got broken temporarily, it was because I was pausing for the calls of station identification and a breakaway of presenting an ad. It was because the truth was so powerful it penetrated through the vortex and caused the interruption to take place. That's all right, because we're reconnected now back to the power of the kingdom of heaven translating into your life. That curse is broken. Those negative energies are gone. That's right, because you have repented and you have washed yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ. Through your repentance, you are taken back to the Father and presented to him. Now he can look upon you favorably and give you those blessings that you've been praying for so long. Because as I indicated before, witchcraft is used by people who are evil-minded. They want something at the expense of others. And because they see that there's a divine orchestration of difference in you, they want to do what they can to try to stagnate you and to use your energy against you by setting up a mirage that they care about you, that they want to be your friend, that they want to be in your presence. But let me tell you something. The power of the blood, of Jesus, has broken that curse upon us all. Those dark clouds have rolled away, and the sun will shine for us all on this very day. So we thank you. Don't you ever get so big. And that's another thing. Some of us got too prideful. We start thinking we can operate things. We can manipulate and monopolize things. Oh, no, God has to humble us and bring us back to the fallen reality that is through the blood of Jesus Christ and in the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, are we justified until redemption? Are we in divine favor to receive the best that the kingdom of God has to offer? And thank God for that opportunity to present this divine truth and this divine prophecy that will manifold, not only unfold, but manifold, multiply itself in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. By the end of this particular broadcast, God is going to do some supernatural things for us all. I'm telling you, because we are in divine order now. We are in the right position to receive that which he has to offer. Oh, yes. And it's a wonderful thing, but I'm going to tell you something. Walking in this light is a valuable thing. It's not about denominations. Denominations could create divisions, division nations. It's not about self-righteousness, because all of our righteousness is of filthy rags. It's no use to God, because you know what? It's carnal. It's only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the very essence of what God multiplies, what God desires, and what really and truly pleases him. Our praises is a way of saying we acknowledge, we extol, we give our focus, we give our attention to, and our attention to you, oh Father God. And God is worthy of all praise. I'm going to tell you something else. Since the dark cloud is moving and the sun is about to shine, the more the praises go up, the more the blessings come down. The supernatural, it keeps turning over in my mind. Supernatural. God is going to do supernatural things within us and around us. You're going to see those strongholds. You've been trying to push them strongholds out the way. You stop praying. You got an attitude with no gratitude, mad at the world, blaming your parents, blaming your coworkers, blaming that supervisor. Let me tell you something. God's supernatural power is going to reverse every negative factor in your life. You know what? What you've been praying for and hoping for and seeing other people get, God is going to multiply to you and to me and all of us 7 times what we were deprived and denied of. God is going to multiply it 7 times. The people that said no, they wouldn't give you any money, those people are going to be glad to hunt you down to give you money. And those people who turn around and said your idea was no good, we didn't need it, they're going to pursue you and ask you, how did you come up with this grandiose idea? Because why? The curse has been removed. Because see, understand this, when people are operating under curses, and many of you are probably saying, such an educated individual with so many accomplishments would talk about curses. Let me tell you something. Spiritual aspects of life far outweigh, far proclivate the naturalistic perspectives of life. That's right, because spirit matter is what created natural matter. You can't take natural matter and create spiritual matter. No, because in the beginning was the Word of God, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So that lets you know spirit matter takes on a confine of natural matter. That's right. Nothing was created without being conceived within the mindset. See, this is how it goes. It's another personal revelation. The mind and the spirit, the heart and the soul. You think about the mindset. As a man thinketh, so is he. This is where ideas and concepts and motivations come from. It comes from the mind. That's right. So what is generated in the mind is spoken out. It's created. So when God thought it, he spoke it, and it became living matter. When we think of something, we do what we think, and it becomes a physical action or a physical chain reaction. So this is why it's so important to know when that curse is moved off you, you think differently, you feel differently, your environment shifts. Things begin to look different. And what you have to do is to walk in the pathways of obedience, not for you, but for me and all of us. That's right. And more so to those of us who are in the perspective place of leadership. That's right. We are real now. We're responsible, meaning we're given a particular level of required mental actions with accountability. Along with accountability means that you got to tell what is and what isn't. That's right. That's the responsibility is external, okay? Accountability is internal. That's right. So we have to have both sides balanced. And this is what God wants, and so we all can receive the best that the kingdom of heaven has to offer. So it's been a while, and just thank God for Jesus, and you're going to be hearing a lot from me in the upcoming days and weeks, because God is on a supernatural mission to restore his people, to revive us, to prosper us, and to give us wealth. That's right. Wealth translates to riches. What happens? See, the prosperity chain, let me explain this to you so many of you haven't listened to the previous podcast over the time and limitation factor of I being affiliated with the nation. Let me tell you something. Prosperity will divine favor. Okay, prosperity means the ability to produce in unfavorable circumstances. That's right. That means when there's odds set against you, prosperity is the ability to produce goodness, to produce wealth, to produce in the midst of unfavorable circumstances. You think about prosperity. You think about how the prosperity was when our Messiah was faced with feeding the multitude. That's right. The multitude. A multitude is considered anything over 3,000. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And listen, there were numerous people. There was more than 5,000 people there. What did he do? He took from the young man. He compensated him for what he had. He raised it unto heaven. And when he raised it unto heaven, God prospered it. Prosper means to be blessed in a favorable position against the unfavorable circumstance. Do you not know and read yourself? That's right. It's through divine favor of the blessing of the prosperity chain that he fed all those people that have bushels of food left. That's prosperity. She's going to prepare her last meal, lay down and die. What happened? Your profit. That's profit. And God sent him there, and he told the woman, sacrifice. Feed me. He said, prepare me a cake, and I may eat this. Her cups overflowed with all she and her family, she and her son, and they did not stop, and they continue to multiply. This is what God is doing for us as we speak. Why? Because we acknowledge his word, his presence, his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. And this is what God is doing. So there goes the prosperity. have been verified. They're reliable. They're bona fide. Authentic. That's right. What happens is it turns over to continually generate from prosperity. That's right. You're constantly receiving. See, when you prosper, you receive. You get the breakthrough. That's right. You get the breakthrough. When you prosper, you have the breakthrough. It's coming. It's coming. But see, wealth is the continuation, the perpetual cycle. Not only the cycle, but the motion of those things happening in your life. So you become wealthy. That means that you have a perpetual continuation of prosperity. Do you understand that? Starts off with divine favor. You're blessed, going to prosperity. Now you've grown into next level of wealth. You have a perpetuation chain of command that keeps flowing in monetary assets into your existence. Keeps flowing divine favor. Keeps flowing the right connections in your life because God is being glorified because you put him first. Then riches is the last level. What is that? Riches means the accumulation, the storehouse. Now you've made so much, you've progressed so much, you've been productive so much. Now you're accumulating. So you have what's power. You went from being blessed with divine favor, you begin to prosper. Then from prosperity, you went to riches, which is the continuation, the perpetuation cycle of receiving, that's right. And the last level, you are now rich. Because why? You have it stored up for a rainy day, for a thunderstorm, for a hurricane. You don't have anything to worry about. And this is what God is doing for us, for those who love him. We had to go through the rough spots. We have to go through the rough climbs. But it taught us. It taught us to know that it came from him. So when you get that check in the mail and you didn't realize where it was coming from and don't even know how, know that this is God's plan of prosperity. That's right. And don't get beside yourself. Bless somebody out of it. I know what I am. Bless somebody out of it. That's right. And it's going to perpetuate, and you're going to go from just not only the prosperity factor, you're going to go to the wealth factor. I'm going to go to the wealth factor. Then we're going to get to the rich factor. And that's when we continue to produce and put away and store away. That's right. And the more that you store, the more generous you become. That's God's will. That's right, because we can't get stagnant because we're rich, because you know what the Lord says? Our Messiah says, he says, it's easy for the camel, has a camel, to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the rich oftentimes feel entitlement. They don't need anything, so they don't have to pray. They don't have to be righteous. Their money makes them like nice to people, but no. With wealth and with riches comes high accountability, moral encoding, and that we have to be held accountable for our actions, our demeanor, and our behavior at all times. So thank God for that wonderful word of knowledge. I want to read very briefly for you a very familiar psalm, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the Psalms of David, very familiar. We've all heard the Psalms numerous times, but do you understand the depth and the propensity of this Psalms? We're going to talk about it very briefly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you are a shepherd, you are considered a watchman. He's saying, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my invisible fortress that I have no lack. I have nothing missing because he is my all in all. So he's saying, the Lord is my keeper. I do not lack. I am not without. I want you to raise your hand and say this with me. The Lord, keeper. The Lord is my provider. And I am not without. Do not lack anything. Second verse says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What is he saying? He takes me to the path that is fruitful and multiplies me. He does what's for my good. It may not seem good, but he does what's for my good. That's right. And he takes me beside the still waters. What it means, he gives us serenity. When he's guiding us, word, the presence of his spirit, He's taking us through the peaceful and peaceable path. That's right, so that we don't become sin and tainted with the very things of this world. He says that he restores my soul. What does that mean, restores my soul? He revives my soul. Sometimes your soul feels like it's just torn apart. When you start looking at the headlines of how people are betraying one another, how people are disrespecting one another, you get torn apart, you get confused, you get heavy-hearted. See, your heart and your soul are connected. We're going to talk about that in upcoming broadcasts. But he said, he just renews my soul. He keeps me abundant in his love, and he gives me love for those even that wrong me. He said, bless them that curse you, do good to them that despitefully use you. In doing so, you heap coals of judgment upon their heads, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. He, what? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Don't be evil. But when God removes that curse from you, that dark cloud from you, other people wishing you well, using witchcraft, trying to harm you, knowing who they are, forgive them, because God's wrath is coming upon the children of disobedience. It came upon us because he chastened us and allowed it to work. But then when we revived and realized that we were doing the wrong thing with the wrong people and the wrong place and the wrong season for the wrong reason, he forgave us, and through the atonement blood of Jesus Christ, we're renewed. We're free. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can harm our families, our environments, our finances. All these things will multiply us seven times what we thought we lost. He says, you know what? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is he saying? Even though I'm in a society that is godless, that fears not the truth of the word of God, that fears not the wrath of God, even though I'm in the society, I am not of the society. And I am not afraid to stand up and to present a different opinion. Not afraid to stand up and speak the truth. I don't have to go with the flow of the crowd because you have your angels encampments round about me, because I fear you that will protect and deliver me. And you watch over your word that I speak to perform it. That's right. So I don't have a reservation about telling the truth. I don't have a reservation about being different. That's right, because thy rod, your presence, and your heavenly host, they protect me. They watch over me. They lead me. They guide me. And so, therefore, I don't fear man's judgment. And you know what he says next, the fifth verse? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What are you saying? Those people who use witchcraft and hope we wouldn't prosper and say that we would never amount to anything, you're broke as a joke, you know, you don't have a dollar, so you can't even holler, you don't have a penny because you know you never will have any. God has reversed the polarity of lack and of hindrance in our lives as we speak now. And now watch the blessing of Abraham continue to flow, multiply seven times. That we lost, God's going to give us back the divine favor we lost. God has given us back the very favor of mankind. God has given us back. And it's in the presence of those who don't want to see you amount to anything, because they know that there's a divine difference within you. God is going to bless us in front of those people who laughed at us, who thought we were down for the count, but he didn't know we were too legit to quit, because we know that he that keepeth us just neither slumber nor sleep, but he turned around. He had an action plan in his hand that he's now giving us the ability and the chain of command. He says, and that thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth, which means that I have a clear mind. I have a peace of mind. My cup runneth over. I'm going to speak and say that God gave me this money. God allowed me to prosper. God broke down those hindering forces. God destroyed and cut off the head of my enemy. It's the Lord's mercy. It's God's presence. Jesus is God's divine favor. We've given him the credit for all we do, and we must do this. He said, surely goodness and mercy, the sixth verse, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is he saying? Surely great things will continue to happen in my life, and I shall remain faithful to God's service, and I will be it all God's speed for as long as I live. I will give credit to you, God, for what you have done for me, with me, in me, and on my behalf. And I will bless those, that's right, who are in necessity, because in doing so, you be glorified. Your name is exalted, and the kingdom of heaven is acknowledged. And the power of Christ is translated throughout this entire world. And we thank God for the power of this word and for the word of his knowledge and for the definite wisdom that comes from experience. And thank God for Jesus. And I thank God that you don't get sad, get glad. We're coming back to you this week. We will definitely give you the word as to when we're coming with manna from on high. We're going to present midday manna from on high. And certainly we look forward to being with you on this Sunday as well. So be blessed and finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. You got your host with the most, your teacher from the coast, Abby A. Phelps, saying, and all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus conceived. And your miracles are about to happen because the best has already come. We'll see you again real soon. Bless you and continue to prosper in everything. Oh.